Bibles, let's open up to Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. Thank God for every testimony given, everything said. And you pray for us tonight, the Lord help us. Revelation chapter 1. You find that place, let's stand together. We give reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Revelation chapter 1. I'd like to preach about 2 hours tonight, and I know that you probably don't want me to. You pray the Lord help us get as much out as we can, all right? Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. And I think sometimes we get so caught up in prophecy and in all of the, you know, the locusts and all that thing that we forget that Revelation was written. The very first verse says the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is the primary purpose of this book, is not to reveal tribulation. It's not to even reveal the New Jerusalem, but it is to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so the Bible says this. We'll read just a few verses. Revelation chapter 1. Start reading in verse number 7. The Bible says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. All kindreds of earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." Verse 8, he says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which was and which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." Notice verse number 11, the Bible says, saying, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and unto Laodicea." Verse 17, the Bible says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last." Verse 18, he said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen." Thank God. And he said, "I have the keys of hell and of death." Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you tonight just one more time, and I'd ask you, Lord, that you'd help us. Father, I understand that, God, where we're at in the flesh today, no doubt that, Lord, these folks, they've worked all day, and God, they're battling their bodies, those sort of things. But I pray for just a few moments of time tonight, that, God, would you rise us up above our physical need, and God, I pray that you'd situate our hearts on the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd help us to see him just as John the Revelator did. I pray, God, that you would help us tonight how to get a real clear vision of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Help me, Lord, to preach above our ability for sure tonight. And to God, I pray that you'd put us in that secret place under the shadow of the Almighty. Help us, Lord, to say the best thing tonight that we ever have said about you. And to God, to get it out the way you put it in. And Father, we'll do the best we can to try to honor you. And Lord, I pray tonight you make preaching easy. I set a guard at my lips that I'd not say nothing contrary to Scripture tonight. In Christ's name, I humbly beg and ask. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm interested primarily in a few phrases in the text that you find. Notice first of all in verse number 8 he says this. He said, "I am Alpha and Omega." And then he says, "The beginning and the end." In verse 11 he said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last." And in verse number 17 he ends it up by saying, "I am the first and the last." I'm going to read one more text of Scripture in Romans chapter 12. This is how he says it in verse number 2. Hebrews rather chapter 12 and verse number 2. I'll just quote it to you. It says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." I got to notice that those phrases over and over, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the author and the finisher. I thought, man alive, I don't know if you would say anything any better about the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Lord help us tonight, I'd like to preach on this thought, on when the first word has the last word. Amen. And when the first word has the last word. I'll assure you tonight in our life that the Bible says in John chapter number 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And so thank God the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him,
that without him was not anything made that was made. And so we find, friend, that the first words to ever be spoken was as a God in heaven and has stepped out of nowhere and on to nothing. And he said, let there be light. And the Bible says, and there was light. Everything that you see, and you see it because he spoke it into existence. Amen. But you need to understand, friend, it's going to come a day that the first word is going to have the last word. I don't know if that helps you or not. But boy, it starts stirring my soul. I'm glad that the world don't get the last word. I'm glad the devil don't get the last word. I'm glad religion don't get the last word. But the last word to ever be given will be given by Christ. Amen. And so let me give you a few things out of this text on the scripture. The first thing he said was this. In verse number 8, he said, I am Alpha and Omega. I thought that speaks of the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the question I got thinking about. And you just bear with me for a moment. I got to trying to think in my mind, why did he use so many ways to go about saying the same thing? If it was you or I, we probably would have just kept saying the same word. The first and the last. The first and the last. The first and the last. But that's not how the Lord done it. The Lord said the first and the last. The beginning and the ending. The Alpha and the Omega. And so there has to be a reason, amen, that God would say it the way he says it. I understand they might all be synonymous terms, if you will. But there's got to be more to it than this. I'd say to you, first of all, thank God when he says, I am Alpha and the Omega, that he's going to have the last word when it speaks of the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd say this to you, friend. I believe the Lord wants us to look to him for all things. Amen. The Bible says, for we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Amen. That is to say, thank God, as we sing that song from time to time, he is all that I need. Amen. I'm glad we come in the house of God tonight, and wherever you're at and whatever place you're in, and thank God I ain't going to try to figure out five or six things. I can preach on the same person, and he can meet every need that's in this church at the same time. Amen. The old friend, he's all together. That's sufficient. I thought about, and thank God he does things that you and I never could do. And we've got folks trying to keep the law today, but you'll never keep the law. Amen. Everybody look up here at me and smile on that. You'll never do it. Amen. The best day of your life, you've not done it. You can't keep it, thank God. That's 631 or that's 613, whichever it is. That commandment says there. Thank God you're not going to keep those things. The best you've done tonight. I'm sure you probably had a thought or two that would disqualify us under the law. Amen. But thanks be to Christ that as we stand here, that the law does not have the final say. I'm glad the Bible teaches us the Lord Jesus, and when he stepped into this world, and the Bible teaches us, friend, and that he did not come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill it. He came as us and did for us what we could never do. Amen. And so we come to the house of God tonight. I didn't have to bring a pigeon. I didn't have to bring a lamb. I wasn't trying to keep a law, thank God. And you say, preacher, you ought to keep the law. Amen. We all ought to. But we've all failed that mighty miserably. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, it's not none of us in here, thank God, that's doing real good concerning the law. And so I'm glad I can go to the courtroom. I know the lawyer, thank God. I can plead on the mercy and the grace of the court, and the judge rules in my favor every time because of his son. Amen. I'm saying this, thank God. He is sufficient when it came to the law. He's sufficient when it came to Calvary. I mean, friend, thank God. You remember what he said in John chapter 17. He said, for the work that thou givest me to do, he said that he had finished it. And then the last cry, and maybe the best cry as far as I'm concerned, on the cross of Calvary, and the last words that he said, and whenever he said it, he has finished. That's really next to the last saying, really. He said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. But my friend, when he rears back, lifts up his head, lets out the battle cry, and said, it's finished. And that's where our sufficiency rests. That's why I thank God I'm going to heaven, and not on my good works, and not on my good merits, I'm resting solely, thank God, on the cross of Calvary. If that's not enough, if Christ is not enough, nothing ever will be enough. Amen. Hey, you mark that down, friend. But it is enough. He stood on Calvary that day and he said, it is finished. And one of my favorite things, and I know I may not never get past the very first point tonight, but I'm going to remind us of a few things. And there's some things I preached maybe before. But you remember that word in the Greek? And I'm not a Greek guy. Look here, friend. I graduated from Scott High School. Hey, wasn't no Greek subjects in our class. And what I got because I read it one day. And I was reading about it is finished. And from one of them old writers, I think it's Spurgeon. And a Spurgeon said, that's three words in our language. But it's only one in the Greek. It's the same word. It's the word to tetelestai. And man, I got to reading about that. And I got to reading on who all that affects. And this is what Spurgeon said about it. As Spurgeon said that a priest would use that term. He said after he would search over a lamb and find that lamb to be spotless on the Passover day, he said he would step back and he would say, tetelestai. He said, I've searched the lamb over and it's ready to go forth. He said a merchant man would understand that. He said he would take somebody's bill and after the bill had been paid in full, and right at the bottom of it, tetelestai, it's been paid off. He said that thank God a sculptor would understand that after he had made everything that he thought it looked like and it should be in his image. And said if that man would sculpt on the bottom of it, tetelestai, there's nothing left to be added to it. And said an artist would understand that, that after he had finished and with the last brush stroke on the painting, and then he would throw that thing away. Hey, listen, friend, and say there's nothing left to be done. And step back and say, tetelestai, it's perfect, it's finished, there's nothing left to be added. But the one that stirred my soul the most, thank God, it said that a prisoner back in the Roman days, it said that on the outside of their cell, it would have all their charges, and after their debt had been paid, after their prison term had been served, that they would take that thing to the magistrate. He would write on that tetelestai. He would keep it in their pocket all the days. And any time anybody tried to bring up charges against them, they'd flop it out and say, it says it's paid. It's paid. It's paid. I'm telling you, thank God. That's why our sufficiency rests upon Christ. And we're standing here tonight. There's nothing to be added to Calvary. There's nothing left to do to it. There's nothing left to put forth on it. Everybody that's been saved by it, everybody that's came to that fountain and walked away, our charges have been dropped and the debt's been paid. Our sufficiency is in Christ. Amen. Nobody else, thank God. I'm glad we stand here today. And that's why we rest on Him. That's why it's not 99% Christ and 1% the law. That's why I'm not trusting 50% in Him and 50% in me. It's nothing good to trust in me. I'm going to tell you this. Y'all listen to me real good. I'll promise you, if I've not let you down by now, there will come a day I will let you down. I'll guarantee that's going to happen. If I'm around long enough and you're around long enough, I'm going to let you down. But oh, listen, I'll tell you, there's nobody let Kevin down more than Kevin's let Kevin down. I look at myself all the time and think, a man alive, I can't even believe God died for you. But I'm going to say this, Christ never has let me down. Amen. It never has, thank God. I'm saying this, friend, and when it comes to the law, He is the Alpha and the Omega. There's nothing left to add to it, and we don't need any more letters. He started that thing. He'll finish that thing. He finished the law. He finished Calvary. I've got good news for you. When it comes to salvation, He's got that covered too. Amen. He's got that covered too. Thank God. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I'm glad, friend, when it comes to salvation, I didn't have to add nothing to it. He provided the whole thing. I mean, when it comes to the church, I ain't got to worry about that. He protects it. Amen. You remember over there in Matthew 16, and when the Bible says that, and they came to Him and He said, whom say men that I am? And they said, some say John the Baptist, and some say Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But He said, but whom say ye that I am? And then Simon Peter answered it, and he said, Thou art the Christ, and the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered Simon, and he said, Blessed art thou, and Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm saying this, friend. He's sufficient, amen. He birthed the church. He'll take care of the church. When it comes time to rapture it out, he'll not leave one behind, amen. He's sufficient. He's sufficient, amen. I mean, listen, there's nobody in here sufficient. We ain't sufficient altogether, amen. Hey, listen, thank God. That ought to help some of us, amen. Hey, listen, you ain't arrived yet, amen. Hey, boy, that helps me, amen. It helps me to preach to folks, thank God. And now, listen, I know how it is. I don't care if you've been saved for 40 years. Hey, you still ain't arrived, amen, to get to a place where, hey, you could still fall, amen, if it wasn't for the good grace of God and the sufficiency. Hey, but I got good news for you. Friend, I'm not relying on Kevin to figure out my whole life either, amen. You know what the Bible says in Philippians 1:6? He which hath begun a good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Christ. He don't need my help. He don't need your help. As a matter of fact, it'd do us all good to get our hands off our lives and let God do with it whatever he wants, amen. He is sufficient. Christ is sufficient. He said to old John, he said, I am Alpha and Omega, thank God. That speaks of his sufficiency. But then I want you to notice this, thank God. Not only is he Alpha and the Omega, but the Bible also says about him that he is the beginning and the end. Oh, thank God. He's the beginning and the end. That speaks of the source of it. I'm saying this, friend. As far as you can go that way, there'll be Christ. And as far as you can go that way, there'll still be Christ. I'll read this to you again tonight. Oh, man, I might read a few verses. In the book of Romans chapter 11. You just pray the Lord help me find some of them, all right? But in Romans chapter number 11, I think it's down about verse number 33. I'll start reading right there. That's a good verse anyway. Hey, thank God it'll fit whether it's got anything new with what I'm trying to find or not. He said, oh, the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Who hath given to him? And it shall be recompensed unto him again, for of him and through him and to him are all things, and to whom be glory forever, amen, thank God. In Colossians chapter number 1, he says something real, real similar to that, and the Bible says it like this in verse number 16. It said, for by him were all things created, and that are in heaven, that are in earth, that are visible and invisible, whether it be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things. By him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things he might have the preeminence. I'm saying this, friend. And the Lord started it all, and the Lord will end it all. Amen. Oh, you better believe that. Thank God. You got your first breath from him, and you'll get your last breath from him. Have that heart beat the first time from Christ, and it'll beat the last time from Christ. And every breath you've taken in between there, and you've got it, not one of you, and not one of you, I could breathe it in on your own unless Christ breathed it in for you. Hallelujah to God. He's before all things, and by him all things consist, and he might have preeminence. He's the beginning of all good things. Amen. I thought about when the Bible says, and let there be light, and there was light. I had a lady call me the other day on up in the drugstore, and she said, preacher, said one time you said, I don't know who this lady is, don't know where she came from, but she said one time you said that there was light before there was a sun. And she said, my preacher said that you was wrong. And I said, well, you go ask your preacher. I'm not an arguing fella, a little bit, all right? I mean, let me back that up just a little bit. All right. Everybody won't say this. I said, you go ask your preacher at what day the sun and the moon was created. I've read the Bible, thank God. I know what day they were made, thank God. And well before that third day ever came up, and well before the fourth day, well before the second day, and well before any day. And the Bible said, God said, and let there be light, and there was light, amen. And where'd the light come from? It's always been, thank God. There just came a day, and God let it rain down on the earth. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And there'll still be light in heaven. There'll be light in the New Jerusalem. As far as you can go that way, there's light. And as far as you can go that way, there'll be light. You know why? Because God said, and God is light, amen. And in him is no darkness at all. I'm saying this, he's the beginning and the ending of light. He's the beginning and ending of love, amen. Oh, listen to me, I want to help you right here. And for the sake, I might kill on a Wednesday night yet, but I'm feeling pretty good in my heart, amen. Hey, you know, listen, friend, we wouldn't even understand what love is if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the beginning and ending of love. And God is love. That's what it says. And God is love. Amen. And thank God, God showed us how to love. And but God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, and Christ died for us. And now listen to me. I want to help you right here. Y'all listen real good. Husbands, wives, you know how to help you love each other. If you start loving Christ a little deeper, I'll guarantee you, y'all listen to me real good. And you start going after Christ, and Christ will bring that thing closer together. But you start drifting apart from Christ, and you'll watch that love will die, man. And you say, why? And because the source of it's Christ. And the closer you get to the source, and the better off it'll be, amen. And the further away you get from it. You know, I never have. Look at me. Don't nobody get it. I mean, it's my life. I'm going to be transparent as I can. You know, I ain't never had an issue with Allison. And not one time. Not one time have I ever said a contrary word to my wife. And when my heart's been right with God, and not one time. I mean, not one time. Y'all listen to me. And not one time have I ever spoke down to her. And not one time have I ever said anything and I wish I could take back. And when my heart was right with God and I was trying to please God. And but I tell you, when there gets to be something between me and God, I find out there starts to be something between me and God. And then there's something between me and her. And then there's something between me and my boys. And then there's something between me and my friends. And then there's something between me and the church. And between me and the brethren. And it's never their fault. It's because there's something between me and God. Amen. I wish more folks would have helped me on that one. Amen. Fix a lot of marriage problems. Two folks get together and come down on an altar, really pour their heart out to Christ, try to get right with him. Amen. Say, preacher, I don't know about all that. Well, I'm going to tell you this. It's mighty hard to be wrong with your brother when you're trying to get right with Christ. Amen. Now listen, I know some folks listen. Some folks won't let you. I understand that. Listen, I've got mercy. I've got grace. I'm saying all that, but my responsibility. Hey, friend, if you're in that place tonight and there's a riff right there, I can't fix. Listen, Allison can't fix Kevin. If the problem is on Kevin's end. But I'll tell you what she can do, Lisa. I'll tell you what she can do, Ty. She can get so much God on her, go out and get right. I mean, fall in love with Christ. How that it brings conviction on my soul for being wrong. Guarantee that's right. Smile at me right there, amen. Y'all still with me on that one? Boy, listen, that really hurts whenever you come to the house of God. You know, everybody's been bickering a little bit, and then a preacher preach on loving your wife. Amen. He still wants to have liberty to preaching. Hey, man, and you know, two people sitting beside each other and they ain't got much liberty because both of them's thinking about what the other person did wrong. Let's just cut each other some grace right now. Y'all get right after the service, but while we're here, just keep giving me liberty to preach, all right? I'm saying this, he's the beginning of life. I did say that, amen. I mean it, thank God. Everybody in this room knows what I said's right too, amen. He's the beginning of life. He's the beginning of love. Let me say this. He's the beginning and the ending of liberty, amen. If you come in the house of God, and you've got liberty, you got liberty because God gave it to you. And if you ain't got no liberty, the Bible says, now where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. If you go into a place and you say, not much liberty, you know what you're saying? Not much Spirit of God. Get in a place where you say, man, had a lot of liberty, had a lot of liberty. You know what you're saying? A mighty good presence of God. Amen. That's right. Thank God. He's the beginning and the end. I mean, he's Alpha and Omega. He'll have the last word about sufficiency. He'll have the last word when it comes to source. He's the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. Amen. Thank God. You say, preacher, what's that matter? That's all matters concerning supremacy. Thank God he's the first and he will be the last. Amen. I mean, you go think about whatever you want to think about, and thank God whenever you think about it, he's nobody better than Christ when it comes to it. I thought about it in the Song of Solomon. Solomon, y'all know I love that verse, Song of Solomon 5:10. He said, I saw 10,000 men and he was the chief of them. Amen. He was as high as it got, thank God. And when it comes to the church, guess what he is? He's the head of it, amen. And when it comes to the building, guess what he is? He's the chief cornerstone, amen. He's not just a block. Thank God he's the chief. Hey, let me help you with this right here while I'm standing here and while I'm thinking about it. In our day, I understand we only talk about the chief cornerstone being on the foundation. But you understand there's two chief cornerstones. And when they would build a pyramid, and Miss Irene, they had two cornerstones. It was the one primary that they would set, had to lay all four corners, and then they would cut another one, and they'd be that very top one, and they'd set that thing aside for a little while. And after they built the whole pyramid, it started with a cornerstone, and then they put the cornerstone on top, and it ended with one, two. Amen. If anything everlasting value ever does get done for Christ, it'll get done because he's the chief, a cornerstone, has the last word from beginning to end. Amen. Guarantee it. Hey, listen, when it comes to names, he's got the best in. Amen. Ain't that right? And they, listen, his name's, but when it comes to directions, he's the way. Amen. I mean, thank God, listen, as far as you want to look, it don't matter wherever you want to go. When it comes to physicians, he is the great one, thank God. I mean, when it comes to kings, the Bible says that he's the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. How you line up whoever you want to line up, but at the end of this thing, the first word will have the last word. Every king will bow, every physician will bow, every name will bow, every person will bow. And he'll be raised up to the glory of God the Father. He will have the last word. Amen. Yeah. That makes me happy. I guess what makes me happy about it is he's my friend and I'm on his side. Yeah. I don't know what to tell y'all about it. Makes me happy. Then he said this. He said he's the author and he's the finisher. Oh, I like that verse real good. That means he's the one who started it. This, I don't know if y'all understand how this works. I wish in my mind that I could get it out the way that I caught it in. But really what that quite literally means, he's the one who pulled the gun that started the race, and then he's the finish line plumb down here. And everywhere in between there, everywhere between the time you start, and that, listen, here's what far too many Christians have done. They started off looking to him, and they want to try to end up looking to him. But they got times between that starting line and that finish line, they don't want to look to him no more. Oh, listen, it hurt my heart. I mean, Sam, it hurt my heart. I want my men, Josh was talking about, I want my boys, I want every boy I got to have a relationship with every man in this church. Brother Donnie, they come, they talk to Donnie about anything. I want them to have that. Right. But I don't want them to look to you for things that I'm supposed to provide.
Right, brother.
Y'all listen to me, hallelujah. I really felt the Holy Ghost. I want y'all to listen. I don't want my boys to have to look to y'all for something that I ought to be giving them. Amen.
And I'll promise you, the Lord Jesus Christ don't want me and you having to run to the world to try to look in the world for things that He's promised us He would give us. Amen. I don't need to go down to Egypt or Assyria to try to find encouragement. I like how David said, listen, I think it'd be a blessing if we had more encouragers. I got folks all the time saying, hey, preacher, I sure would like to have something to do. Find somebody and encourage the wax out of them. Amen. We've got enough people, thank God, trying to bring everybody down. Just go around somebody and try to love on them a little bit. It'd sure be a blessing. Amen. I'm saying this to you, friend. And when you come to these things, I mean, it's nice to have encouragers all around you. But if they all stop, I'm not looking to you for my encouragement. Thank God, if I was looking to the Baptist for encouragement, I'd have quit a long time ago, thank God. I'm saying this, friend. David said, when the men spake of stoning him when he was down in Ziklag, the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord, amen. At the end of this thing, thank God, I don't have to look to you for encouragement. It's a blessing, amen. It's a blessing and a duty, amen, of the people of God. But if you quit, I'm glad I know how to get along with God. I get in the Bible and encourage myself in the Lord, amen. I'm glad I ain't got to run to you for support. Ain't that a blessing? Now listen, we all, Brother Ernest Campbell walked in the funeral home today and he said, do all things without murmuring and complaining. And if there was a verse in the Bible, we probably need it written on every Baptist church walls. Do all things without murmuring. That's when you complain just low. It's a murmur. You'll say, I'm not really complaining. I say it like this. This is how I say it. Try to help myself. I say, I'm not complaining. I'm explaining. And really, all I'm doing is making myself feel better about complaining. That's the honest truth. Somebody help me right there. I'm saying this to you, friend. It'd be a real mighty shame when we've got a God in heaven who has literally given us an open-ended verse that says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And then to say with open arms, whoever needs help, let them come. And then all of us say, you know what, I appreciate that invitation, but I believe I'd rather lean on one of my friends, or I'd rather lean on myself. No, I want the first word to have the last word. Yeah. Friend, when it comes to supply, I mean, I thank God we can get supplies from somebody else. But I like how David said it in Psalm 121 when he said, I lift my eyes up to the hills from whence cometh my help. I know, thank God, we can get comfort from other folks, but there's no place like Psalm 61:2 when he said, from the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Amen. Christ wants to have the last word, thank God. And he will. And he will. The question is, would you let him have it in your life? I've cleared my heart. Stand your feet. I'm done preaching. There's a time when the first word's going to have the last word. Listen, you come. Donnie, come sing whatever you're going to sing. But I'm saying.